to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, NXT Podcast. What's up? You know, it's Zachary Smith. I'm your host. You know that. Back for another week. I'm excited. Kids, I gotta tell you, I'm excited to host this show anyway, every week. It's a lot of fun. I like talking to you. Hope you enjoy it. I'm especially excited this week. So we got a real good show. And I can either make a great podcast out of a terrible show. That's a specialty. Or a great show. Middling show, I have trouble with, because then I just have to tell you what happens. And who needs that? Not you, certainly. You can watch the show for that. That's not what you come here for, and it's not the level of comedic excellence you've come to expect. Now, we're going to talk about it just a minute. Real quick, you can find me on Twitter. At ZachNXT, at ZachNXT, because I live this stuff, you know? Anywhere you find me, it's NXT. Matt, when he hosts, he just hosts it. His handle's like at Wrestling Audio. You know, me, you know from head to toe, I am NXT. Am I saying I am more dedicated than him? I'm not. But also, yes, you find me at ZachNXT. Always talking about wrestling, other fun stuff over there. Would love to have you. Also, I host another podcast. It is called Random Wrestling. You're never going to guess what it's about. I pick a random show every week and I talk about it. We've done Hell in a Cell 2019. That's The Fiend, Seth Rollins. Boy, that sure was fun. Capital Punishment 2011. Almost racist caricature of Barack Obama on the cover. R-Truth versus John Cena. We've talked about ECW December to Dismember. Probably the worst show WWE's ever put on. And that's saying a couple things. One Night Stand, but not the good one. Because, you know, I don't like myself as much as I like you. And so I do that for you. We've talked about those. And it's been a lot of fun. You can find those episodes usually come out on Saturday. You can find that podcast anywhere you find this one. I'd love for you to check it out as well. Now, we have a segment here. We call it news. I said it like that because it's news with an exclamation mark. Because that's excitement. And a wrestling podcast is all about excitement. And I carefully curate a list of news that I've heavily researched. Because, again, you deserve the best. And certainly what I do not do is Google WWE and kind of sort of read off and react to the news. That would be ridiculous. That's a Matt move, and that's not what we're here for. But some of the news, again, that I've curated, a couple things. John Cena speaks on The Rock's potential return to WWE. I don't know why you'd interview John Cena about The Rock. I would maybe interview The Rock, potentially. They were in a movie together. I don't know. I probably wouldn't. Like, if you were going to interview me about, like, Matt, that'd be weird because you could talk to Matt. But point is, Rock's going to come back at some point. Going to have a thing with Roman Reigns. It's going to be fantastic. Roman Reigns is the best character in wrestling. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything. He's fantastic. And The Rock is only going to be better for that. This is how you use part-timers. Bring them in. Have them get people over. And so that's going to be really good. Roman's the head of the table. The Rock can say, no, you're not. Probably exactly like that. That's going to be fantastic whenever he does come back. Photo, Bray Wyatt spotted in incredible shape. That's a weird thing to take photos of people, candidly. Bray Wyatt, when he first started this Firefly Funhouse thing, got in the best shape of his WWE career. So if he's in incredible shape, that's awesome. He was at WrestleMania. Then he had to take some time off. I don't know if it was nailed it because he took the Brody Lee stuff really hard, as he, you know, as he is wont to do. Him and Brody Lee were very close, or what it was, but he needed some time off. 100% respect that. I hope that he can come back kind of a fresher character, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. TMZ, WWE superstar Roman Reigns, comma, wife. That's not how you do a sentence. Show off smoking hot beach bods in Miami. That's gross. Don't do those headlines. That's weird. That's creepy. Don't take pictures of people without their permission. Also, don't write smoking hot beach bods and WWE superstar Roman Reigns, comma, wife. Show off is a bad sentence. I don't know if it's grammatically incorrect. It sounds like it is. Khan. That's Tony Khan. Dox Punk, Brian. AEW rumors. Apparently CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are coming to AEW. CM Punk hasn't been in wrestling for some time. Daniel Bryan was last seen on an episode of SmackDown, losing to Roman Reigns for the Universal title, the stipulation being if he lost, I want to say it was that he had to be off of SmackDown. Am I proud that I have this recall for wrestling? I'm not, but also, yes, I guess. Is it a useful skill? Not especially in life, but specifically for a wrestling podcast, absolutely. We are past the point where I'm dying to see CM Punk back, but it'll be exciting. And Daniel Bryan is fantastic. That's going to be a lot of fun. Apparently WWE had no interest in CM Punk because, you know, when you have the opportunity to bring somebody like CM Punk back, why would you? He pales in comparison to like a Goldberg, you know? Goldberg, WWE title match. That makes sense. No interest in CM Punk obviously also makes sense. Here's the thing, though. I don't have to worry about it. You know why? Because I don't host those shows, main roster shows. You know what show I host? Three guesses. CNXT show. Got it wrong. And we have a great episode to talk about. And that's great for me. We open up the Then Now Forever theme at the beginning. It got changed again. It's weird that they keep tweaking it. Like, at a certain point, it seems like you're kind of just doing it to do it. It's not so much an issue. It's just like a weird thing I noticed. And if I notice it, you're going to hear about it. Recap of Samoa Joe being just the best. Shots of Karrion Kross, shots of Regal objecting to Samoa Joe having a match. The stipulation was that Joe couldn't put his hands on anybody unless he was provoked. And I would argue, I don't know about you, if somebody surprises me and chokes me until I'm asleep, I would argue that's provocation. I'm not a lawyer anymore. I made bad decisions. And it's frankly, it's none of your business. But that seems, law-wise, like provocation. But Regal had some issues with Joe. Kross took out Regal, as I said last week, so this should be great. And Kross, last week, drove off before Samoa Joe could get to him. TakeOver 36, I believe, is on the 22nd. They announced that Raquel is going to address the NXT Women's Division. That's certainly a thing that happened. I still forget Raquel's the women's champion. And I don't know if that's Raquel's fault or if it's because, like, she's not Io Shirai. I think it's that Raquel's kind of boring. Not the person, not through any fault of her own. Just kind of like, there's a reason Diesel didn't work as WWE champion and worked as a bodyguard, you know? You kind of put people in roles and it helps them get to a point, but then, the main event tonight is Adam Cole versus Bronson Reed. That's an interesting main event, and by interesting, I do mean it's not especially, but Adam Cole's great. Bronson Reed's fun. So that should be fun. I don't know why I read these notes off to you as if I haven't watched the whole show. But I wrote them this way, so that's how we're going to read them. Or I like to create a narrative for my podcast, and you pick whichever of those you like more. Ciampa and Thatcher are out to start us off. Tommaso Ciampa looks like a future version of Timothy Thatcher that came back from the future to warn his past self, Timothy Thatcher, about his life choices. And that's really the big thing about being a good tag team. One of you needs to look like you are from the future. And there's exactly one tag team that fits that. Pete Dunne's out next with Oney Lorcan. Danny Burch got hurt. Pete Dunne. We're going to put him with Oney Lorcan. Fantastic. Now, spoiler alert, Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan win this match through nefarious means. That's a good word, nefarious. If they had lost, Oney Lorcan would have been there to take the fall. Oney Lorcan's great. He's just kind of a fall guy. This is an interesting tag team. I mean, you aren't doing anything with Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan individually. And I'm all good on them having nailed it. Pete Dunne tell me that he's like the best in NXT and like never proving it or showing it through no fault of his own, just from like the way they use him. So fine. Yeah, cool. Put him in a tag team with Crazy Man. I'm good with that. Tag team works for the time being. This match gets a good amount of time. All four of these dudes are really good. So this is a really good match. They also both work together as tag teams, because sometimes you have four dudes that happen to be in a tag match and it's not a good tag match. These are, well, one tag team, Ciampa Thatcher, and one sometimes tag team, Oney Lorcan, Pete Dunne. So this is great. But the great part is that Ridge Holland is back. He takes out Timothy Thatcher. Pete Dunne nailed it, the bitter end on Ciampa. And Dunne and Lorcan win. I don't know if you heard me just a second ago. Ridge Holland's back. It's been like, 9 months since Ridge Holland snapped his ankle catching someone on a dive? Forget if it was Oney Lorcan or Danny Burch. It was one of them. Ridge Holland was on the outside of the ring. Somebody jumped out onto him. And I believe the plan was for him to catch them, because Ridge Holland's a very strong man. It's a strong name for a strong man. And I don't know why, but his ankle, like, snapped in a gnarly way. And I thought he was going to be out, like, a year. Because, ouchie. 9 months, he's back. No big deal, he's Ridge Holland. He's back. He beats up Oney Lorcan and Pete Dunne. 3-on-1 beatdown. They get a "you suck" chant. That's incorrect. They don't. They're very good. We cut from that to Carmelo Hayes. He has a vignette. He's in the breakout tournament. Carmelo Hayes has already been on NXT. He's stepped up to Adam Cole. Believe he slapped him in the face, which is a rude thing to do, and I don't condone it. I will say for the record, but fun nonetheless. Has a very good vignette. Carmelo Hayes is going to be the biggest star out of this breakout tournament. He can talk. He can wrestle. He has it. Please don't ever go to the main roster, because they will not care about any of those things. Even though they say those are the things they care about, it's not. It's the whims of a 75-year-old. You know, the basis for any good wrestling company. Cut to Samoa Joe outside, arriving at the arena. Out of commercial break, he's out, coming out to the ring. Business is about to begin. Joe looks very angry, but also Samoa Joe always looks very angry. That is just his face. He has a folder with a contract, I assume, in it. He gets a table, like a contract signing table, from under the ring. It's handy that they had that there and not a regular table, because that would have looked ridiculous. He also gets a chair, throws both of those in the ring. He angrily, which I didn't know you could do, sets up the table and the chair. It's at this point, I feel it's pertinent to remind you, another great word, that Samoa Joe's really great. It's hard to set up a table and a chair and be charismatic with it and awesome. And Samoa Joe did it, because Samoa Joe is a national treasure. And that's important to remember. Says, Cross, I could bark about you all day, but you're too gutless a coward to be here tonight in the building. As it turns out, he was right, because Cross was not here. He says, instead, he calls out William Regal. He says, join me in the ring, please, sir. There's something about a very angry man saying, join me in the ring, please, sir. That is intimidating and also polite, and I appreciate that. The chemistry between William Regal and Samoa Joe is fantastic. I love that it takes like an extra couple seconds for William Regal to come out, like he wasn't expecting to be called out. He also doesn't have his entrance theme. Now, Joe says to Regal, I understand that you are angry. What Cross did to you was wrong. I know that tonight you're going to fire him. Now, Regal does not have a mic through any of this. Regal also doesn't need one, because he can tell a story with just his face. But he nods. He's very upset, as you would be. Joe says, listen to me, I have a better solution. I have a way to satisfy our needs in three easy steps. Step one, pulls out one piece of paper. Says, first off, I tender my resignation from NXT management. I quit. I mean, you're supposed to give 2 weeks. That's not proper procedure. That's fine. Takes out the second paper. It says, with your signature, you reactivate me as a part of the active roster. Crowd loves it. I love it. You kind of saw this coming, but it's also like a wrestling thing where like you want it to happen and you think it's going to happen, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Well, it is. Samoa Joe is back. Regal thinks about it for like half a second and signs. This makes sense. He attacked William Regal. Regal's pissed off. You would sign that. Joe's back. Joe is back. That's important for you to understand. Samoa Joe's back in NXT. So like he'll be like used and his talents will be used. Imagine that. I want to be clear. Take a lot of swipes at Vince, Bruce Pritchard, like the creative team. I don't think that I could do a better job at running a multi-million or billion-dollar company. I do think that I wouldn't do worse. I think that's definitely true. Takes out the third piece of paper. He says, with your signature, you make it official. Samoa Joe versus Karrion Kross for the NXT title at TakeOver. Again, William Regal thinks about it, almost smiles. Signs the paper, crowd chants, thank you, Regal, as they shake hands. That's proper. I also appreciate a polite crowd. They shake hands. That is a main event and a half right there. And I'm very excited. And I hope Samoa Joe takes that title, because Karrion Kross is dead in the water, dude. he lost to Jeff Hardy in 2 minutes. Then Jeff Hardy got COVID, and I don't know if they said the plan was for him to lose to Jeff Hardy again, which is awesome on the main roster. And Karrion Kross has never felt less important through no fault of his own. Again, I could not do a worse job than they already do. Cut from that, LA Knight and Cameron Grimes are at a golf course. Of course, Cameron Grimes is the caddy. I'm confused by this story because Cameron Grimes is pretending to be cool with being a butler. Now, on one hand, that kind of makes sense character-wise because I would be a man of my word and be his butler. I would also want to piss him off, so I would pretend nothing's bothering me. On the other hand, it's weird because you would think he would just be like a sad sack. So it's confusing. LA Knight looks like a guy that takes golf really, really seriously. Like the kind of guy that while you're having a conversation with him, practices an imaginary golf swing. But then on the golf course is a really bad golfer. And that's a very good thing that LA Knight looks like that. So LA Knight, Cameron Grimes golf course. There's a ball washing joke because it's golf balls, and that is very funny. And I know comedy, and that is comedy. They both have polo shirts tucked into short shorts. Obviously, it's a beautiful golf course. Don't know where it is. LA Knight asks for a sandwich. Grimes thinks he said sandwich because that is also very funny. It is at this point I realize that Cameron Grimes is wearing cowboy boots with his polo and short shorts. Fantastic. Cameron Grimes bets him $1,000 he'll hit the ball and it'll go into the trees way over in the horizon. LA Knight does indeed hit the ball over to the trees. Grimes says, I believe you owe me $5,000. And LA Knight said he never made that bet. That's the end of that vignette. Don't worry, there's going to be two more. So Josh Briggs is in the ring to face Carmelo Hayes. He had a vignette earlier. It wasn't a very good one. He's in the ring to face Carmelo Hayes. Neither of them get an entrance, which is great. Carmelo Hayes should absolutely win this tournament. Also, Briggs, big dude. I don't have anything else like commentary-wise. He's a big dude. Duke Hudson is on commentary as Carmelo Hayes wins. Hudson, not great on commentary, but that's okay. He's good. He's really good. Hudson and Carmelo Hayes are great. Hayes's finisher was a top rope famouser, and I really hope that that is not his finisher because Hulk Hogan, who's a bad guy, messed up his back by doing a leg drop where he jumped in the air. From the top rope, I imagine that's just exponentially worse. 3 bomb words in one podcast. You don't get this anywhere else. So I hope that is not going to be his finisher going forward because I care about people. And Carmelo Hayes is going to be around for a long time, I hope, if he stays in NXT. And the 75-year-old doesn't get his hands on him. So Carmelo Hayes and Duke Hudson are going to face each other in the semifinal match, presumably next week. Carmelo Hayes should win, but even if he doesn't, again, he's going to be a star. So maybe Duke Hudson wins because Duke Hudson probably needs it more, but Carmelo Hayes would be the best winner. So I don't know, man. You figure it out. I just host the show afterwards. So we are back to the golf course. The $1 million title is hanging off the golf cart because if I was $1 million champion, I would bring it everywhere I went. Cameron Grimes is narrating Knight's swing. It's very distracting to Knight, as it would be. As a result, Knight hits the ball into the water. Grimes laughs and says, now you owe me $10,000. Knight tells Grimes to go swim and get it. Grimes takes his cowboy boots off, has really cool, and they're not, but really cool golf socks on. He gets the ball, LA Knight drives off. Another cart pulls up. It's Ted DiBiase, who I'm very surprised is still here. Happy, surprised. He says, look, kid, guys like Knight are just going to hang you out to dry. You're better than this. He says, you weren't born, nailed it, to be a butler. You were born to be a champion. Don't lose your pride. The Grimes I know is a fighter. I want you to think about that. And he drives off. There's a replay of Ridge Holland returning, because I don't know if you remember from earlier, but Ridge Holland's back. In the back, they interview Ridge Holland as he's leaving. He says, Thatcher isn't the first person I've smashed up. He's British, so that makes sense. Thatcher isn't the first person I've smashed up. That's better. And he won't be the last. Love Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland is still green in the ring, but Ridge Holland can be really, really good. Raquel's out. If you forgot, Raquel is the NXT Women's Champion. And again, do not feel bad, because I also forgot and forget a lot. So she's out again with Dakota Kai. So they get in the ring. Raquel says, last week I crushed one of the most feared women in NXT, Xia Li. I don't know if that's actually true, but I mean, she did do that. She says, I've dominated every person who stepped up. Who's next? Raquel does this thing sometimes where she cuts some of her promo in English and some of it in Spanish. And that's actually really cool. I like that a lot. I do not know what she was saying in Spanish, but I do know it sounded very cool. And she should keep doing it. And again, don't let the 75-year-old man get hands on her. Because what I know to be true about Vince is he doesn't like it when people aren't speaking English on his TV show. And that, I'm just going to leave there. And I'm going to let you take that to its logical conclusion. So who's next? All I have to say is keep him coming. Dakota says, 18 months ago, Raquel, you debuted and you've been unstoppable. Dakota Kai calls her Big Mommy Cool. Do you guys get it? It's like Big Daddy Cool, which is what Diesel or Kevin Nash's name was. So all those times I told you guys she's Diesel, she's Diesel. Not a super important note, but Dakota Kai's hair is purple. Fun fact, that's my favorite color. It looks really cool. That's not important to the segment or the review or what's going to happen in a minute. But it is important for me to tell you those things. Hair looks really cool. And Dakota Kai's really good. She said the women's division in NXT is the greatest because of one woman. Now that's very interesting wording, isn't it? She didn't say Raquel. She said it's great because of one woman. Now we all know where this is going, and I'm in the future now, and I know where it went. I would like to say NXT is really, really good at writing stuff like that, and Dakota's very, very good at doing it. She says, TakeOver is a short time away. She says, who's woman enough to face Raquel? Which woman knows in their soul they can walk down here and face Raquel? They look towards the entrance ramp. Nobody comes out. Again, very interesting wording, knowing what we know now. She says, there is no one. She says, we've been through so much together. As long as I have your back, you will always be champion. Now, this is telegraphed. This is fairly obvious where it's going. It makes it no less fantastic that they said it without saying it. So if you didn't catch it, it's still surprising. But if you did catch it, you had this building sense of, oh, she's going to do it. As long as I have your back, you will always be champion. And Dakota immediately raises Raquel's hand. Raquel's music starts. That's a really cool detail, because that makes you think the segment's going to end as a trained wrestling fan. Raquel gets on the top rope with the title. She comes down in the corner, and from off screen, Dakota kicks her in the face, which again, that's rude, and she shouldn't have done that, because it's not a nice thing to do your friend. She picks up the title. She stares at it. I believe what she said was, I am woman enough. Not sure. But she holds the title, stares at it for a second. She lays the title on Raquel, walks away. Raquel looks hurt, physically and emotionally. Fantastic, fantastically done. This is a great build. Dakota teased it last week. She telegraphed it this week in the best way possible. I would like Dakota to win the NXT title, please, because Raquel is boring as champion. And Dakota is doing the best work of her WWE career, which, admittedly, when this started and she was getting shoved in lockers, didn't think that's where we were going. And that's my fault because I do trust NXT. I don't trust main roster. I trust NXT, though. As she's walking up the ramp, a fan, sometimes like one fan's chant will get through. He yells, "Let's go, Dakota. It's your time." It sure is, I hope. Cut to the back. Adam Cole promo on Bronson Reed. I thought Bronson Reed would be on the main roster now, which is weird. He said, "I could give a damn about your 14-year journey. You lost the North American title because you weren't good enough." Which is just cutting words. Also a little bit true. And basically said he's going to beat Bronson Reed. That would be the right decision. They try to interview Dakota Kai in the back as she's leaving, but she runs out the back. I don't know if that's a, I guess that's a she's scared of retribution by Raquel thing. That's fine. As long as she wins the title, I'm going to be a happy podcast host. The Way is in the back, discussing Austin Theory walking off. A package arrives for Indy, and it's a drawing of The Way with Dexter Lumis. They basically make a deal that if Dexter Lumis wins against Johnny, he gets a chance with Indy. And if Johnny wins, she's done with him. I really hate to keep telling you this. This story is gross. I hope Johnny wins and we never hear about this again. It's gross. Don't start relationships based on stalking people. Please. Weird that I had to tell you. Please. Bronson Reed in the back. Getting ready for the main event. You're never going to believe this. We're at the golf course again. The Grizzled Young Veterans are here. They're also in polos. Because that's uniform etiquette. They are mad because LA Knight's taking too long with his swing. Grimes stands up for Knight. They make a deal that the next person to sink the ball, hole-in-one, gets double the 10 grand that Knight owes Grimes. LA Knight actually agrees to that. Now Knight goes to hit the ball. He hits it in the water again. The Grizzly Young Veterans laugh at him because that is funny. Cameron Grimes laughs. LA Knight offers Grimes the club to see if he can do better. Grimes winds up, hits LA Knight in the nuts because, again, that is very funny. Then he gets a hole-in-one, obviously. He's very excited. And then LA Knight is starting to get up. Grimes pretends that the Grizzly Young Veterans are the ones that hit him. LA Knight believes it because he's not a super smart guy. The veterans drive off quickly as Knight chases them. As he's chasing them, Grimes says, "I love golf, who'd have thought?" Bronson Reed is out for your main event. I keep thinking that he's had his last match in NXT and is going to the main roster to never do anything again. But it hasn't happened yet, so I don't know, man. Maybe he's just going to be around. Adam Cole's out next. Can't decide if I like his new theme or not. By the end of the entrance, I decided I don't think I do. It doesn't work with the boom thing that he does. Bronson Reed hasn't really had enough time in an important spot in NXT to develop enough to go to the main roster, so whenever he does go to the main roster, I don't know that it's going to be great. Not necessarily through fault of Bronson Reed, through fault of, oh my gosh, he's a big dude, let's get him right now. Cole does that, we're both in the corner, flip over your opponent in powerbomb position thing that Seth Rollins used to do until Seth Rollins injured his knee on a house show against Kane, which one is just a hell of a trivia fact, and two brings me back to the point that I'm not super proud that I have that recall, but I assure you that is what happened. That made me real nervous. Adam Cole hits a super kick. Adam Cole's still slapping his leg for super kicks, which I believe they weren't supposed to do anymore. But it's better with a leg slap, so I like it. Drew McIntyre's claymore doesn't sound as painful anymore because he doesn't slap his leg. I know JR doesn't like that, but, you know, it's JR, isn't it? You should slap your leg. Makes a bigger noise. It's not believable. Yeah, it's not a real fight either, is it? So, here we are. Bronson Reed misses that top rope splash that he does, which seems like it'd be very painful. He's a very big man. Cole hits a super kick, hits the last shot, which is a fancy name for running and hitting somebody in the back of the head with your knee. And he wins. Short match, but fun. If this was the last Bronson Reed match in NXT, thank you very much. It was enjoyable watching you, and I do sincerely hope that he finds a place on the main roster. Adam Cole's on the entrance ramp. He gets hit in the back with a chair and choked with that chair by Kyle O'Reilly. Is it bad? I am worn out by this feud and don't particularly care to see a third match. Don't know why. Don't know why. Couldn't tell you why. Just not. Adam Cole's a much better promo. He's better at selling it. That's not Kyle O'Reilly's fault. It's just kind of been... it's been a whatever thing, man. The first match was fantastic. The second match was good. I don't know, man. But we're doing it again. And O'Reilly suplexes Cole into the bottom of the ring steps as we go off the air and leave NXT. One more time. Takeover's coming. And I'm excited. One more time. At ZachNXT on Twitter. Random Wrestling. Anywhere you find podcasts. I hope you check me out over there. Let me know what you think of the Takeover show that's coming up and the NXT show. In the meantime, I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic. And thank you for listening.